for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Good morning. Happy Friday, TGIF. Juliet Huddy is still away in Italy. She is going to be back on Tuesday. I'm Frank Morano with you for the day. My final day with you this week. Dominic Carter is going to be here on Monday. Sid Rosenberg has got sports. Ray Raimondi's got local news. Joe Nolan's got traffic. And Lloyd Lindsey Young has got weather. But let me tell you about some of the news you're going to be hearing about all day. People are not living as long as they used to. The effects of the pandemic on our life expectancy can be seen in a new study. The study released this week in the British Medical Journal finds that life expectancy in the U.S. dropped by almost 2 years between 2018 and 2020. Life expectancy for blacks and Latinos dropped by more than 3 years. Lead author Dr. Stephen Wolf says this massive drop is unlike anything seen since World War II, and he blames it on bad governance that exposed long-term systemic problems. And a former police cop, a former Minneapolis cop is being sentenced today, exactly 13 months after killing George Floyd during an arrest. Derek Chauvin was convicted in April. His lawyers are pushing for probation. Prosecutors want at least 50 years, but state, want at least 30 years, but state guidelines suggest 10 to 15 for someone with no criminal history. Chauvin is the one seen on video holding Floyd down while he stopped breathing. Three other ex-police officers will stand trial next March. And we've been spending a lot of time taking a look at this situation in Florida. Rescuers in Florida refuse to give up hope in their search for survivors. They've saved at least 37 people so far in yesterday's condo collapse. About half of the 12-story building tumbled down, killing three, with 99 still missing. Officials say a 40-year inspection was underway at the time, but there was no serious complaints. A state researcher, though, says his team knew back in the 90s the tower was sinking and wrote up a study. So we're going to continue to investigate. You're going to hear analysis on that throughout the whole day right here on this radio station. But a sad, sad situation nonetheless. All right. We've got weather with Lloyd Lindsey Young in just a minute. A little bit later, I'll tell you what Vice President Mike Pence is up to. The answer may surprise you. You may also be surprised to learn what's in store for you with respect to traffic on your way into work. Fortunately, we have Joe Nolan to help guide you through it. How are the roads looking this morning, Joe?
They are looking fine, Frank. Really, really not all that big of a deal. We do have a problem, though, on Route 3. On the eastbound side, all lanes remain closed to Broad Street and Clifton. There was an accident investigation, a bad accident on the overnight. They now are in the process of investigating. So eastbound 3, all lanes closed in Clifton at Broad Street. 9W and Alpine between Ludlow Place and the Palisades Parkway. There's a downed tree. As a result, all lanes are closed both directions there. The outbound 59th Street Bridge, the upper level, road work, construction, all lanes shut down. And on the Southern State, two lanes are out between Nassau Road and Hempstead Avenue. That also for road work, but that should be out of the way shortly. An alternate side is in effect today. The support of service at Napa Auto Parts, whether it's offering curbside or next day delivery for online orders on over 160,000 parts or getting involved in their local communities, when it comes to serving you, Napa's motor never quits. That's Napa know-how. I'm Joe Nolan, traffic on the 7s, Talk Radio 77. WABC.
508. It's time to get a little bit of weather from the man that gets it right most of the time. Legendary weather broadcaster, television, radio, and probably a few other forms of media. A very, very talented individual and somebody I'm proud to know. The one and only Lloyd Lindsey Young.
Soho. Hey, good morning, everybody. TGIF. Frank, great to be on board with you this morning. Wonderful weather in the tri-state area. Enjoy today. It's not going to be so great over the weekend. I'll tell you about that in a moment. Temperature, very comfortable in the early morning hours here. Once again, in the low 60s in the city and the 50s out in the suburbs. Maximum temperatures under partly cloudy skies today, just about 78 to 80 degrees right down at the shore, 75, 78. Nice. But listen, high pressure redevelops and heat and humidity come back Saturday and Sunday. How hot will it get? Well, 85 for Central Park on Saturday. Look out. Here comes 90 on Sunday. And get this, as we go in the next week, low to mid-90s with us approaching 100. Holy heat wave! It's coming. Well, July is just around the corner. But enjoy today. It's definitely TGIF. Lloyd Lindsay-Young with your WABC weather.
Thank you, Lloyd. TGIF indeed. Experts say they've uncovered what they believe is the oldest shark attack victim. University of Oxford researchers found the remains of an adult male that suffered nearly 800 injuries from a shark dating back roughly 3,000 years ago. The remains were discovered during an excavation at a Sukumo site near Japan's Seto Inland Sea. In a statement, researchers said they were at first confused by what could have caused the deep serrated injuries to the man's legs, arms, chest, and abdomen. They eventually determined that a shark attack was the most plausible explanation through process of elimination. Coming up at 5:30, we'll tell you the state of New York's finances with Tom DiNapoli. And even though Jet Set Juliet isn't here, we will have the Jet Set Julietless travel report with Eric Hastings coming up a little later as well. Grammy Award-winning songwriter Diane Warren is helping save a cow who escaped from a slaughterhouse. A herd of 40 cows escaped Tuesday night in Pico Rivera, California, with the final missing cow being located early Thursday. One of the cows was shot and killed after it charged a sheriff's deputy's family. Warren worked with city officials and Farm Sanctuary in Action to help provide the cow with a forever home. Activists will be holding a peaceful cow vigil tonight at the slaughterhouse, where they will ask the company to free all of the cows that had escaped. And in Port Jefferson, out on Long Island, a New York teen is okay after calling firefighters to get her out of a fitting room. 14-year-old Smithtown resident Giovanna Diso was shopping at Kate and Hale clothing store in Port Jefferson, but the building was formerly an old bank, and its fitting room has a propped steel vault door. Her 7-year-old brother pranked her and pushed the door closed, but it didn't open. It took several firefighters 90 minutes to cut through an inch and a half of brick and concrete in order to free her. So for all you 7-year-olds listening, be nice to your sister. Starting July 15th, the Library of Congress will reopen its doors. The library, which houses more than 171 million items, will allow guests to visit 3 days per week on Thursday, Friday, and Saturdays. Visitors will be required to wear masks and follow social distancing guidelines. And a boat captain in Michigan discovers a message in a bottle from the year 1926. Boat owner Jennifer Dowker said she was scuba diving to clean the windows on the bottom of her boat when she spotted a tiny green bottle and realized there was a note inside. Thanks to social media, Dowker was able to speak with the daughter of its creator. How about that? Former Vice President Mike Pence says he's proud that Congress certified President Biden's victory after the Capitol attack. He spoke in California yesterday, pointing out he didn't have the constitutional authority to stop the count of electoral votes. His boss, former President Trump, wanted him to do just that, claiming the election was stolen. Trump has been accused of inciting the January riot and encouraging supporters beforehand. Some 7 million people struggling amidst the pandemic are getting more time to pay their rent. That's how many are currently delinquent. But many will get to stay in their homes at least through July 31st. The CDC extended its eviction ban by another month, just days before it was set to expire. Landlords have filed legal challenges to the moratorium. The White House encourages courts to adopt anti-eviction diversion programs. And before we get to sports, the Senate Judiciary Committee is approving a pair of bills that would dramatically expand coverage of the Supreme Court. If passed, court trials and other proceedings, like Supreme Court arguments, would be on camera for the very first time. Such legislation has not cleared the Senate committee in more than 10 years. Both bills have bipartisan support. So who knows? You soon may be able to see the questions from Justices Sotomayor and Gorsuch and Kavanaugh and make your own judgments based on how they're doing. All right. Well, you can make your own judgment as to how the sports world is going. Christian Arnold is going off to Tampa to follow the Islanders.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
You're going to cover game seven?
Going right now.
Going, yeah, leaving right now.
Wow, that's very cool. Very cool.
Imagine.
Well, we're actually going to bring on today Nassau County exec Laura Curran. Made a huge bet with the mayor of Tampa Bay before the series. So we've got both Curran out of Long Island and the mayor of Tampa Bay coming on together at 8:40 this morning on the show with me and Bernie.
What were the terms of the bet? Do you know?
I don't remember exactly.
Okay,
but
we'll find out at
Long Island, Tampa. We'll find out specifically.
I think it was like bagels and seafood or something.
For
like that.
Long Island, right. I'm not sure what Tampa Bay was giving us. Maybe Tom Brady. Either way, they'll both be on today.
So. He's so good. We take him for the Islanders, you know?
Unbelievable.
All right, 5:15. Let's get a look at what's happening in sports.
Frank, let's start right there. Who doesn't love a game seven, especially the Islanders? They become America's team. Those rousing national anthems out there at the Nassau Coliseum. Question is, will they get more games at the Coliseum? Well, they'll have to win a game seven in Tampa tonight. Here's Ryan Pulick of the Islanders talking about the focus on tonight's game.
Honestly, I think it's pretty easy. We know what's at stake. You know, we're going into a game seven. We obviously, it's a big win last night, and you know, you enjoy it for a minute, but, you turn the page and, you know, today is complete refocus and, you know, ready to, you know, go to work.
Drop the puck in Tampa, 8 o'clock tonight. Even a lifelong Ranger fan like me finds myself rooting for the Islanders later on tonight. Yankees afternoon tilt in the Bronx yesterday. They made it easy. Three more home runs, a good pitching performance. Our very own John O'Halloran was in the Bronx covering the Yankees and the Royals.
The Yankees wrapped up a three-game set on Thursday afternoon against the Royals in the Bronx. Jameson Taillon took the hill and had a much-needed dominating performance. 6 1/3 innings of one-run ball put the Yankees in a good position, up 4-1 going into the sixth, when the Kraken cracked the game wide open for the Yanks.
High drive, left field. Going back, Dyson, still back. Track, wall, see ya! A long three-run home run for Sanchez. He keeps hammering away.
Michael Kay of the Yes Network. Sanchez's three-run shot puts the Bombers up 7-1. He's been on fire as of late. That's his seventh home run in the last 13 games, and he's hitting a whopping .338 over the last 3 weeks. Yankees win it 8-1 and now have won 7 of their last 10. They'll move on up to Boston to begin a series with the first-place Red Sox later tonight. From Yankee Stadium, I'm John O'Halloran for 77 WABC.
Great job, John. The Mets are back home tonight. It's a doubleheader again, like they did Monday against the Braves. This time, Joe Girardi's Philadelphia Phillies in Queens for two games. First game at 4:10, second game at 7:10. Right now, the Mets still in first place, a 3.5-game lead over the Washington Nationals. NBA last night, the Clippers beat the Suns in the Western Conference Finals, 106-92. That series is now 2-1 Phoenix. Later on tonight, game two from Milwaukee, the Hawks and the Bucks. The Hawks got a road win in game one. And Jason Kidd on his way to coaching the Dallas Mavericks. They are wrapping up those negotiations later on today. Sports brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Check them out, peerlessboilers.com, paviliontankless.com. They do build America's best boilers. With sports at 15 and 45, I'm Sid.
5:17, let's get a look at traffic with Joe Nolan.
Bad accident on Route 3 eastbound Broad Street in Clifton. Accident investigation continues. This happened around 4 o'clock this morning, so eastbound Route 3, all lanes are closed at Broad Street. Now, 9W in Alpine, there's a downed tree. As a result, all lanes are closed there in both directions. Southbound Jersey Turnpike, the outer roadway closed for that overnight roadwork, as is the outbound upper level of the 59th Street Bridge. They're working on that. Mass Transit in very good shape this morning. Really no issues there at all. And alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations once again today are going to be in effect. With traffic on the sevens, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
The state controller, Tom DiNapoli, the state's top fiscal watchdog, joins me at the bottom of the hour. We'll be right back on the WABC Early News.
This is the WABC Early News.
5:19, this is the WABC Early News. A bipartisan deal on infrastructure plan will lead to jobs and a lot of spending. Wall Street likes that, and the markets had a very good day yesterday, with the S&P 500 finishing at a record high after President Biden said he had an agreement with a group of 10 Democratic and Republican senators, the so-called Gang of 10. The deal is for about $580 billion in new spending to upgrade the nation's infrastructure over the next 5 years. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was up 322 points, the S&P 500 gained 24, and the NASDAQ added 97 points. Only two of the 30 Dow Jones stocks had down days, Apple and Dow. Boeing had the biggest day of the Dow stocks, gaining nearly 3%. Drug maker Eli Lilly was up about 7.3% after announcing its Alzheimer's disease treatment drug and that it earned a breakthrough therapy designation from the FDA. And the weekly jobs claims fell to 411,000. That is a decrease. The Labor Department reports 411,000 Americans filed first-time claims for unemployment benefits last week. That's 7,000 fewer than the previous week's revised total. Most analysts were expecting today's number to come in right around 380,000. The biggest jumps in claims were in Pennsylvania, California, Kentucky, Florida, and Texas. The sharpest declines were in Michigan, Delaware, Washington, Tennessee, and Alabama. So we'll see what happens and where we end up going from there. Television host Conan O'Brien is thanking fans for sticking with him on TBS. He aired the final episode of his talk show last night. It wrapped up 11 years on the cable channel, ending 28 years on late night. He said, "When smart and stupid come together, it's very difficult. But if it happens, it's also the most beautiful thing in the world." O'Brien isn't leaving entertainment for good. He'll now head over to HBO Max for a new project. Michael Myers isn't done. Fans of the Halloween movies know that's the mask-wearing slasher who first hit the big screen in 1978. He attacked the character played by Jamie Lee Curtis, and now she's coming back again. She'll reprise her role, picking up where her 2018 film left off. The movie becomes the biggest moneymaker in the movie became the last Halloween movie, the biggest moneymaker in the franchise. The next one is called Halloween Kills, and that's going to be out in October, appropriately enough. Well, it's no surprise that Donald Trump is unhappy about election fraud claims. And now the former president is attacking two Michigan Republicans who found no evidence of fraud in the 2020 election. A Michigan Senate committee released a report on Wednesday saying it found no evidence of systemic voter fraud. Yesterday, Trump sent a statement to his supporters calling the report a cover-up. His statement claimed that state GOP Senators Mike Shirky and Ed McBroom were doing everything possible to stop voter audits in order to hide the truth about the November 3rd election. And he warned that they will pay at the polls. Joe Biden won in Michigan by 154,000 votes. The New York Police Department's Hate Crimes Task Force is investigating vandalism of the George Floyd statue that was unveiled on Juneteenth in Brooklyn. The statue on Flatbush Avenue had been painted black sometime Wednesday night and was discovered yesterday morning. The name of a group considered a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center was spray painted on the statue. Another statue of Floyd, whose death at the hands of a white Minneapolis police officer last summer led to nationwide protests, was discovered vandalized in Newark, New Jersey. And at 5:23 with 64 degrees, New York State of emergency is over, but New Yorkers who remain unvaccinated are urged to remain cautious. Mayor Bill de Blasio says local control over health policies now resumes. CDC restrictions remain in effect, so anyone who's not fully vaccinated must continue to wear masks indoors. The chair of the City Council's Health Committee, Councilman Mark Levine, says the Delta variant remains a threat to anyone who's not vaccinated. So Mark Levine is also a candidate for Manhattan Borough President. Doesn't look like he was successful, although we're still tabulating the votes in that race. And the day the state of emergency was lifted across New York, the city launched a $30 million year-long campaign to bring tourists back to the Big Apple. The city's tourism board says it's using a combination of television, digital media, outdoor, and partnerships to let the world know New York is open again. The campaign targets travelers across almost two dozen U.S. markets in Canada, as well as Mexico and Latin America. So we certainly wish them the best of luck. Former Mayor Rudy Giuliani, who you could hear on our station every day at 3 p.m., is now facing a disciplinary hearing that will determine if he loses his law license after he was temporarily suspended from practicing law yesterday. The state Supreme Court, Appellate Division First Department, handed down the suspension yesterday in connection with his efforts on behalf of former President Donald Trump in last year's election. The justices said that Giuliani made false and misleading statements as Trump's lawyer. Giuliani says he defended his client and committed no crimes. It is interesting to me that some of these people, some of these lawyers who are still able to practice, have a pretty checkered history. And Rudy Giuliani has never been convicted of anything. And now he is prohibited from practicing law, at least temporarily. So we'll see where that goes. A woman who was carrying a 19-month-old infant was struck by a pickup truck while she was crossing an intersection in Queens. The woman, identified as 58-year-old Insook Roll, died later at a hospital. The child is in stable condition at a local hospital. Police say the driver of the truck, 43-year-old Angelo Gracci, remained at the scene and was taken into custody. Charges against him include driving without a license and failing to yield the right of way. Well, before we get to Joe Nolan in traffic, let me just tell you about this stamp, a worthy one, if ever there was one, and I say that as a Met fan. 6 years after his death, Yankees legend Yogi Berra continues to be remembered. In ceremonies at the Yogi Berra Museum and Learning Center in Little Falls, New York yesterday, the U.S. Postal Service unveiled a forever stamp that was honoring the Hall of Famer. Berra's three sons and his granddaughter were on hand for the ceremony, which broadcaster Bob Costas hosted. The Yogi Berra stamps are available at post offices nationwide. And I will remind all of you Met fans out there that while he may have had some great playing years with the Yankees, Yogi was also a coach and a manager of the New York Mets. He coached the Mets in that he was the first base coach for that 1969 World Championship team. So somebody who I know is lining up to get his Yogi Berra stamps is the man responsible for the traffic every 10 minutes on the sevens, Joe Nolan. Hello there, Joe.
He was great. Yogi, I have three or four Yogi stories, but they're all too long. But
well, what's your favorite Yogi-ism? If you can't squeeze in a whole Yogi story, give me a Yogi-ism.
Nobody goes there anymore. It's too crowded.
That's a good one.
That's my favorite. I use that all the time.
That is a good one.
Route 3 eastbound. All lanes are closed to Broad Street and Clifton. An accident investigation. If you're on 9W and Alpine between Ludlow and the Palisades Parkway at Down Tree, that continues. Also, the outer roadway southbound turnpike. All lanes are closed with overnight road work. Now, outbound 5-9er, that upper level all lanes going to be closed. And again, that for road work. And alternate side of the street parking once again today is in effect. This report, Service Snap Auto Parts. Whether it's offering curbside or next day delivery for online orders on over 160,000 parts or getting involved in their local communities. When it comes to serving you, Napa's motor never quits. That's Napa know-how. I'm Joe Nolan, traffic on the 7s, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Thank you, Joe. The state controller, you know, I figured Joe Nolan's Yogi-ism was going to be traffic related. Something like, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. I mean, isn't that appropriate for a traffic reporter? But he may not have Yogi-isms, but he's got a lot of news. Ray Raimondi in for Deb Valentine with all the news that's fit to listen to.
From around the world to around the block, this is your 77-second news update from the RSCSolutions.com news desk on WABC.
Thank you so much, Frank. Five people, including three teenagers, were shot in the Bronx early this morning. The NYPD searching for a gunman who opened fire after being denied into a party in the Unionport section of the borough. All shooting victims are in stable condition. Questions still swirling as to what caused a catastrophic condo building collapse in Surfside, Florida. Investigators say there was construction on the roof of one of the towers. Search and rescue crews worked all night and into this morning. We're expecting to get updates at 8 this morning from officials. Panera Bread is giving away bagels. That's to anyone who's vaccinated against coronavirus each day from July 2nd to July 4th. It's all in support of President Biden's goal of getting as many adults vaccinated as possible by Independence Day, July 4th. The CDC is concerned a growing number of Americans are skipping their second COVID vaccine shot as the Delta variant continues to spread. It's now estimated more than 1 in 10 Americans who received their first vaccine have not gotten the required second dose, leaving approximately 15 million Americans vulnerable to the Delta variant. Do you know what today is? It's National Bring Your Dog to Work Day. It's observed every year the Friday after Father's Day. A bark in solidarity for man's best friend. A check of your forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. Mostly cloudy this morning. Rain, especially out east on in our coastal areas. Today, we're partly cloudy with peaks of sunshine. 78 is the high. For Saturday, isolated thunderstorms, high of 82. Right now, 64 degrees here outside of the 77 WABC studios. And that's your 77 news update from the RSCSolutions.com news desk, where Mark Arzumanian will put you to work. I'm Ray Mundy on 77 WABC. More of the WABC early morning news with Frank Morano is up next.
The rooster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC early news on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
This is Frank Morano. You're listening to the WABC early news at 5:30. Unfortunately, Juliet's still on vacation this week. I'm holding down the fort. And I have the good fortune of speaking with one of my favorite public officials, the state's top fiscal watchdog, and the man in control of the state pension fund, the one and only state controller, Tom DiNapoli. Mr. Controller, thanks for getting up early for us.
Frank, always a pleasure to be with you, early, late, whenever it is.
Well, you're very kind. Now, it's no secret, the New York State's economy has had a rough time in the midst of this pandemic and the shutdown. A lot of businesses not able to even be open, and that's had a really difficult effect on New York's tax coffers. What is statewide tax revenue looking like at the moment now that we're starting to see businesses reopen again?
Well, it's looking a lot better, you know, really in many ways such a dramatic turnaround from certainly what we were projecting going back a year ago, right? Last June, you know, dire predictions of major budget shortfalls, sales tax collections plummeting, affecting state coffers and local government revenues as well, expecting mid-year budget cuts, you know, withholding spending, money to nonprofits and local governments. Well, you know, fast forward to today, we have a couple of things happening. Number one, as you point out, the economy certainly is reopening in each and every way. So we continue to see revenues coming in higher than projected. In fact, in our most recent cash report, we're $4 billion ahead of what was projected just a couple of months ago. So significant resurgence. So it's not only the economy reopening, though, people spending money and getting out again. You also see New York State and our local governments, including New York City, benefiting from a significant infusion of federal aid. And that really is the big game changer, the money coming in from the American Rescue Plan. And frankly, at the state level, the third dynamic is that the legislature and the governor in their budget agreement back in April increased taxes in certain categories for upper-income New Yorkers, corporate franchise tax. So you've got that combination, resurgent economy, more tax revenue, big jump in federal aid, and you've got some increases in tax revenue. All of that is resulting in a much stronger budget position than anybody had anticipated.
Talking with State Controller Tom DiNapoli, New York City's also been pretty challenged financially. They were also the beneficiary of some federal relief funds. Does that make all of New York City's problems go away, this giant mound of cash they got from Washington?
Well, I think the short answer to that is today, yes. The question is tomorrow. You know, New York City's budgets, similar to the state, benefited mightily from that additional federal aid. But what we see, particularly with the city, is that big spending commitments, some new spending commitments were being made using that federal money. But that federal money is not forever. And, you know, the real question is not so much what's the situation today, but what's the situation going to be 3-4 years from now? And that's where, you know, particularly for the city, we see risks. You know, obviously you have a new administration coming in. You've got, I think, virtually all the contracts, labor contracts, you know, have to be renegotiated. So there's going to be, no doubt, an increased cost related to that that's not fully factored in. So, you know, both for the state and in many ways even more so, you know, for the city with how they're handling the federal money, you know, the real concern is, will this recovery continue to stay so strong? Will the revenue, the tax revenue, continue to hold up? And will that then replace the federal money as it's spent down? And that's where really that issue, you know, for both the city and the state of using more of this money to build up the reserves, those rainy day funds, to use when the economy perhaps won't be as strong, when that federal money won't be there. You know, that really is an area, you know, and to their credit, the city has been rebuilding their reserves. The state has never done an adequate job in that regard. One of the concerns that we identified, especially with the state financial plan, use more of this money. And there is additional money going into the reserves. That's good, but nowhere near what it should be.
Now, a lot of folks questioned whether the tax increases in the last state budget were necessary, given all the relief funds that were coming from Washington. Were those tax increases necessary from what you can see? And now that we've gotten this relief, is there any chance that we may see some of those tax increases rescinded?
Well, I frankly don't think there's much talk about going back. I mean, it's all relatively new, and in fairness, they're quote-unquote temporary. I mean, they're temporary for a number of years. You know, the question of whether they're necessary really depends on what your point of view is. The governor and legislature made a judgment beyond a recovering economy and the federal aid. More had to be done on significant program areas, particularly education and health care. And that's where the judgment was made. Even with the strong economy, even with the federal aid, more needed to be done. Just take education. The issue of fulfilling the promise on foundation aid that was made years ago with the CFE court decision, that had never been adequately addressed. Now is the time to do that. You needed more money to achieve that. The real question, I think, Frank, is will the revenue that had been anticipated from those increases will in fact hold up? You get back to that question. Will we reach a point where folks that, and certainly during the pandemic, folks learned how to be mobile and operate from somewhere other than New York, will some of those folks that already have second homes change their legal address to avoid paying those higher taxes? Keep in mind, for high-income New Yorkers that live in New York City, they will have the highest personal income tax rate of any taxpayers in the country, right? So that issue of are we taxing ourselves out of the revenue because higher income people will move, it's not a new question. At this point, we don't have the hard data to know the answer to that. Anecdotally, we always hear about that. But, you know, that's why we have to look carefully at personal income tax revenue in terms of volatility. And, in fact, will some of these choices on raising taxes end up being counterproductive? I don't think anybody knows the answer to that question yet, but, you know, certainly for the short run, I don't see any change in terms of, but that, you know, the controller doesn't decide, you know, how much money to raise or where to spend it. That's for the legislature and the governor. That's their call.
Understood. You know what that world's like as well. We've been talking with State Controller Tom DiNapoli. Of any public official in the state, he has the one website that you're going to want to make sure that you check and check often, because you can see if there's unclaimed funds with your name on it. For instance, Ray Raimondi, who's doing news for us today, he has unclaimed funds. I just looked him up on the state controller's website, and he is owed money both by Wells Fargo and Travelers Indemnity Company. And you'll never know if the state is hanging on to your money. Tom DiNapoli really wants to give it back to you.
That's a fun part of the job, Frank. Thank you for putting in a plug. Yep.
Absolutely. Check the state controller's website. Tom DiNapoli, have a great weekend, my friend.
You too, Frank. Take care.
537, somebody that is a New Jersey resident, so it doesn't have any New York money owed to him. is Joe Nolan, but he may have some traffic information for us. Hello there, Joe.
Well, we had three big problems out here this morning. Usually this time of the morning, you know, it's pretty quiet. But right now, eastbound on Route 3, all lanes are closed at Broad Street and Clifton, an overnight accident. They're investigating it. They're diverting everybody out onto Broad Street and Clifton. So that, obviously, a big deal. Now, if you're traveling also in New Jersey on 9W and Alpine, all lanes are closed both ways between Ludlow Place and the Palisades Parkway. There's a downed tree. I'm sorry, it's Ludlow Lane and the Palisades Parkway. There is a downed tree there that will continue to be there for a little while longer. They're just going to cut that up and get it out of the way. And southbound on 684 between exits 2 and 1 now, a new accident involving an overturned vehicle. Apparently a lot of activity along with this and alternate side of the street. Parking rules and regulations are in effect. Mass Transit, everybody looks to be in pretty good shape, at least so far. I'm Joe Nolan. Traffic on the 7th, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Well, we'll do the Jet Set Julietless Travel Report in just a minute. This is the WABC Early News straight ahead.
All the news that's fit to be heard. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC.
540, this is the WABC Early News. A lot happening in terms of business. By the way, you know what I just did? Sid Rosenberg also owed money. And you never know if you're owed money as well. Go on the Office of Unclaimed Funds, New York State Comptroller. Type in your name. See if you're owed any money. And if you are, maybe give a little bit of a commission to the Frankster. P.O. Box 1777, WABC. Attention, Frank Moreno. All right, a bipartisan deal on infrastructure plan will lead to jobs and a lot of spending. Wall Street likes that. The markets had a very good day yesterday with the S&P 500 finishing at another record high after President Biden said he had an agreement with a group of 10 Democratic and Republican senators, the so-called Gang of 10. The deal is for about $580 billion in infrastructure upgrades. Now, the S&P on that news, the S&P 500 gained 24. The Dow Jones gained 322 points, and the NASDAQ added 97 points. And weekly jobless claims are down. The corporate profits made up some ground in the first quarter. They rose 1.7% during the first 3 months of the year. And that followed a 3.3% decline in the fourth quarter of 2020. All right. Well, Jet Set Juliet is off, but we are still doing the Jet Set Julietless Travel Report. And here to help us deliver it is the Emmy Award-winning host of Beyond My Backyard, the one and only Eric Hastings.
Thank you, Frank. What a week it has been in travel. Earlier this week, Carnival Cruise Line announced plans to grow its fleet by two additional ships by early 2023. These two ships are in addition to the new capacity growth represented by Mardi Gras, Carnival's first XL-class liquefied natural gas-powered ship, which starts sailing from Port Canaveral on July 31st. Looking for a unique vacation idea? I've got one for you. How about Dubai this fall? Expo 2020 Dubai, originally scheduled for last year, will run for 6 months beginning October 1st with exhibits representing 190 countries. Business class airfare on Emirates will set you back about $3,700 a piece round trip on a week-long itinerary beginning October 18th, 2021. Speaking of dates, Canada's Prime Minister of Public Safety recently announced via Twitter that the U.S.-Canadian land border restrictions would remain in effect for at least another month, saying, in coordination with the U.S., we're extending restrictions on non-essential international travel with the United States until July 21st. You can, however, still fly to Canada from the United States. And finally, Amtrak has just begun a massive multi-year, multi-million dollar modernization project that will elevate the customer experience aboard its long-distance trains that serve overnight routes across the United States. In total, more than 450 rail cars will be refreshed over the next 3 years thanks to Amtrak's investment of $28 million for the project. The first of the refurbished cars are set to transport passengers this summer, with the remaining three types of superliners entering service this fall. This has been the Jet Set Juliet Travel Report. In for Juliet, I'm Eric Hastings.
Thank you, Eric. Eric is the managing editor of Beyond Your Backyard. He's also the host of that program, which is an Emmy award-winning nationally syndicated series on PBS. You can check out his website, erickthetravelguy.com. That's Eric with a K, thetravelguy.com. 5:45, let's check in and see what's happening in the world of sports with Sid Rosenberg.
Good morning, Frank. We've got a big Game 7 in Tampa tonight. Will the Islanders move on and play for the Stanley Cup? Montreal. Well, we'll find out later on tonight. Again, the Isles got that big comeback win at home in Game 6 to force this Game 7. Here's Islander player Ryan Pulock after last game's win.
Honestly, I think it's pretty easy. You know, we know what's at stake. You know, we're going into a Game 7. Obviously, it's a big win last night, and, you know, you enjoy it for a minute, but, you know, you turn the page, and, you know, today is complete refocus and, you know, ready to, you know, go to work.
Drop the puck at 8 p.m. in Tampa. Me, a lifelong Ranger fan, grew up despising the Islanders. Find myself rooting for the Islanders later on tonight. Yankees afternoon tilt in the Bronx yesterday. Got a big win over Kansas City. And our very own John O'Halloran was in the Bronx with this report.
The Yankees wrapped up a three-game set on Thursday afternoon against the Royals in the Bronx. Jameson Taillon took the hill and had a much-needed dominating performance. 6 1/3 innings of one-run ball put the Yankees in a good position, up 4-1 going into the sixth, when the Kraken cracked the game wide open for the Yanks.
High drive, left field. Going back, Dyson, still back. Track, wall, see ya! A long three-run home run for Sanchez. He keeps hammering away.
Michael Kay of the Yes Network. Sanchez's three-run shot puts the Bombers up 7-1. He's been on fire as of late. That's his seventh home run in the last 13 games, and he's hitting a whopping .338 over the last 3 weeks. Yankees win at 8-1 and now have won 7 of their last 10. They'll move on up to Boston to begin a series with the first-place Red Sox later tonight. From Yankee Stadium, I'm John O'Halloran for 77 WABC.
Actually, Boston in second. The Yankees find themselves 4 back of the division-leading Tampa Bay Rays. The Mets will play 2 in Queens tonight, hosting Joe Girardi's Philadelphia Phillies, a 4-10 start and a 7-10 start. Mets start tonight's action 3.5 better than the Washington Nationals. Western Conference Finals last night. NBA, the Clippers get a big win. Beat the Suns 106-92. Phoenix still holds the edge in that series 2-1. They'll play game 2 tonight, Eastern Conference Finals in Milwaukee. The Atlanta Hawks won the first game on the road. They're up 1-0. And also, Jason Kidd looks like he'll sign his contract in Dallas today to become the next head coach of the Dallas Mavericks. Sports at 15:45, brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Check them out today, peerlessboilers.com, paviliontankless.com. They do build America's best boilers with sports. I'm Sid.
Sid, you are indeed. And at 5:47, Joe Nolan has got traffic and transit on the sevens.
All right, Frank, going to start in Westchester this time. Southbound on 684 coming down to exit 2. An accident, fire department, EMS, everybody on the scene of this one. There's an overturned vehicle involved. The left lane is out. If you're on the New York State Thruway on the northbound side at exit 2 in Yonkers, a new one, an accident, right lane out. Now in New Jersey, eastbound Route 3, all lanes remain closed at Broad Street and Clifton. That overnight accident with an accident investigation. And then 9W, all lanes are closed in Alpine with a downed tree, that by Ludlow Lane. Mass Transit, everybody there right on or close to schedule, an alternate side is in effect. In this report, a service in Napa Auto Parts, whether it's offering curbside or next day delivery for online orders on over 160,000 parts or getting involved in their local communities. When it comes to serving you, Napa's motor never quits. That's Napa know-how. I'm Joe Nolan, traffic on the 7s, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
5:48, I just want to reiterate the importance of checking the state controller's website for unclaimed funds. I just checked in the last 3 minutes every single one of our colleagues during the week. Every single one of them is owed money except for Juliet Huddy and me. Every single one of them is owed money. Bernard McGurk, Sid Rosenberg. Actually, I shouldn't go through all their names because their addresses come up in some cases. But they're all owed money. Every single one. Check the New York State Controller's website. Get yourself a nice big check. And if it is a big check, you know, maybe you buy me lunch or something. You send me $20, buy a drink. Least you could do. All right, 5:49. This is the WABC Early News. More headlines in mere moments.
All the news that's fit to be heard. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC.
5:50, this is the WABC Early News. A couple from New Jersey could possibly be in the condo that partially collapsed in Surfside, Florida, early Thursday morning. Lakewood residents say they believe the man and woman went down to visit family. At least one person is dead and dozens of people have been recovered. At least 99 people are still missing. Terrible situation. An investigation is underway to find those responsible for vandalizing a statue of George Floyd outside Newark City Hall. Authorities say it happened overnight when a police sergeant noticed graffiti on the statue around 6 a.m. Thursday. The face was also painted black with white words running down the statue's base, which referred to the Patriot Front, a group deemed to be white supremacists. A statue of George Floyd was also found vandalized with similar symbols in Brooklyn yesterday morning. The New Jersey state budget is on pace to be pretty large. New Jersey's largest budget is now making its way to Governor Phil Murphy's desk. The Senate and the Assembly approved the $46.4 billion plan yesterday, but votes were split among party lines. The budget includes a nearly $7 billion investment in pension funds and another $500 million for tax rebates. Murphy can sign the budget as it stands or decide to cut costs by vetoing certain items. Voters in New Jersey will get the chance to decide whether to legalize betting on New Jersey's college sports teams. It would also apply to collegiate teams that visit the state to play tournaments. State legislators approved the referendum yesterday, which means the question will now be put on the ballot in this November's general election. If approved, the measure would apply to all NCAA state teams, including Rutgers, Seton Hall, and Princeton. And the Trenton is focused on focusing funds it received from the American Rescue Plan on youth and neighborhood services. Mayor Reed Gasoria says part of the nearly $73 million will also go towards infrastructure and investing in the local economy to create jobs. It came the same day Newark Mayor Ross Baraka laid out his recovery plans to get New Jersey's largest city back on track post-pandemic. Newark plans on bringing aid to small businesses and building a tech cluster, among other goals. And the reward for information leading to the arrest and conviction of the person or persons responsible for the death of a Maplewood, New Jersey soccer player now stands at $20,000. It was June 6th when 18-year-old Musa Fofana was fatally shot near Underhill Road on Garfield Place. A second male victim was treated at an area hospital for a non-life-threatening gunshot wound. Anyone with information is asked to contact the Essex County Prosecutor's Office or Homicide Major Crimes Task Force. All calls will be kept confidential. All right. Well, it's been a real pleasure working with the great Lloyd Lindsey Young all week. My only regret is that it needs to end. He does the most accurate weather forecasts anywhere on radio. Without further ado, here is the great Lloyd Lindsey Young.
Hello, Staten Island. Good morning, everybody. Lloyd Lindsey Young with your WABC weather. Great to be on board with the incomparable Frank Morano. What a privilege. Let me tell you, beautiful day again in the tri-state area. For example, Newark, high today 80, Central Park 78, out on Long Island, looks like about 77 degrees in the breeze, a lovely day, but it'll be short-lived or short-lived, take your choice. High pressure is moving in over the weekend, and then the heat and humidity is going to start increasing throughout the area. Looks like mid-80s tomorrow, Saturday, and by Sunday, oh, it'll be a Sunday indeed, with high temperatures near 90 and even hotter as we get in the next week. A potential heat wave developing Monday through Wednesday for the greater New York area with readings in the low to middle 90s. So enjoy today. It's a winter. Lloyd Lindsey Young with your WABC weather.
Thank you, Lloyd. We'll check in with you next hour as well. Russia is warning Great Britain it'll bomb their ships next time they cross into Russian waters. The warning came yesterday after a British naval vessel sailed past Crimea across the Black Sea. Russia says the warship was in its territorial waters, so they dropped bombs in its path as a warning. The UK claims it was in Ukrainian waters and that no bombs were dropped. But yesterday, Russia's deputy foreign minister refuted Britain's claims and told state news agencies that in the future, bombs would be sent not only in the ship's path, but also on target. Ana Guerrero is still Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti's chief of staff following reports that she made disparaging social media comments about 91-year-old labor and civil rights activist Dolores Huerta. Garcetti asked Guerrero to step down from her position after the Los Angeles Times reported the alleged comments on Tuesday. Now, other political figures are urging Garcetti to fire her himself. Stephen Saltzman, who served as deputy mayor under former L.A. Mayor Tom Bradley, wrote a letter to Garcetti on Thursday. Saltzman says if a resignation doesn't come, Garcetti should fire Guerrero to preserve the dignity of the office of mayor. Former Saturday Night Live cast member Lorraine Newman is the latest person to testify in the trial of real estate scion Robert Durst. Durst is accused of shooting writer Susan Berman to death at her house in Bennington Canyon in the year 2000. Berman was a longtime friend of both Newman and Durst, and yesterday Newman testified that Berman once told her she provided a false alibi for Durst in connection with the disappearance of his first wife. But she also claims Berman later backtracked and said she never did provide an alibi. Newman added that she's ashamed she didn't realize the significance of Berman's revelation at the time. Prosecutors believe Durst killed Berman because she was the witness to a crime. And at 5:57, somebody that would never witness a crime and not tell the truth about it. At 5:57, Joe Nolan's got traffic and transit on the 7th.
Hi, Frank. We still have that full closure of Route 3 eastbound in Clifton, New Jersey at Broad Street. Again, the overnight accident, that continues. Also, 9W, all lanes are closed in Alpine. Ludlow Lane area with that downed tree, they're still getting that out of the way. Bad accident, southbound 684 by exit 2. Fire department, EMS, everybody on the scene of that one. It's an overturned vehicle involved in that. And alternate side of the street, parking rules and regulations are in effect. Mass Transit, by the way, running right on or close to schedule. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on Talk Radio 70. WABC.
Thank you, Joe. President Biden is expected to offer assurances to Afghan leaders when he meets with them at the White House today. Biden will host Afghan leaders Ashraf Ghani and Abdullah Abdullah ahead of the pullout of U.S. forces after nearly 20 years. Analysts say Biden will assure the Afghans that the U.S. will continue to back their government. Ghani and Abdullah are expected to ask Biden for specific and concrete pledges of financial and diplomatic support, along with continued technical assistance for Afghan military forces. A home under construction in Richmond, Virginia will make history. Work is underway in South Richmond on what will be Virginia's first 3D printed home. The 3D printer is making the outside walls for the 1,600 square foot home. Construction is set to be done in October, and those involved with the project recently told 8 News building a home this way could lead to a drop in home prices. Wouldn't that be nice? And we're also keeping an eye on the situation involving the Capitol riot. The attorney general says 500 people have now been arrested in January's Capitol attack. At least 100 of them are charged with assaulting a federal law enforcement officer. And one Illinois man is the first to be charged with attacking journalists during the riot. Court records show the 43-year-old was seen on video targeting reporters and tackling a cameraman to the ground. A whole lot more news coming your way in just a half hour, including some more news about how long you're going to have to wait for a passport. We've got more weather. We've got sports. We've got a preview of the Bernie and Sid show. But first, we've got 77 seconds of news with Ray Raimondi.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, 6:03, I'm Frank Morano. This is the WABC Early News. Juliet Huddy is off. She is going to be back from her European vacation on Tuesday. I'm sure she's going to have a lot of great stories, and I'm looking forward to being on vacation myself next week, so this will be my last morning with you until after Independence Day. But we have a whole lot of news to get to within the course of the next half hour, not the least of which is the situation involving our colleague Rudy Giuliani, who, by the way, is also owed unclaimed funds from the New York State Comptroller. But that's the least of his worries now, because the law license of Rudy Giuliani is being suspended over alleged misleading statements he made about the 2020 election results in Georgia and elsewhere. A court ruled yesterday that the Trump lawyer, who you can also hear every afternoon at 3 p.m. right here on 77 WABC, promoted lies about widespread fraud and inflamed the U.S. Capitol riot in early January. Giuliani also made claims that ballots had been stuffed in suitcases in Fulton County and that dead people cast ballots. Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger said the decision backs up his own statements about the election being fair and accurate. Texas is setting a new record for the largest hailstone ever in the state. A severe thunderstorm pounded Medina County in April, hitting Castroville and Hondo especially hard. Days later, a committee confirmed a hailstone in Honda had broken a record. The chunk of ice weighed more than a pound and was 6 inches wide. The entire thing measured nearly 20 inches. Luckily, it didn't hit anyone. Thousands of families are finding out their summer vacation won't happen. That's because it's taken even longer to get new passports this year. The State Department says it's up to 18 weeks now due to slower mail times and more people traveling. Many are so desperate, they're turning to a Facebook group to buy or trade in-person appointments. Wow. Some are reportedly being sold for up to $300. The U.S. is planning to send 3 million Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccines to Afghanistan. The doses could ship out as soon as next week, along with oxygen and other supplies. The move comes as the country is facing a surge of coronavirus cases. Afghan government statistics show 85 people dying daily over the past week, but there are fears that the actual death count could be much higher. We'll see what happens. A sad situation. All right. We're also monitoring the situation on the roads at 607, where we've got traffic and transit on the sevens with the great Joe Nolan. Hello, Joe.
And, Frank, we continue to have that full closure eastbound on Route 3 at Broad Street and Clifton. Again, overnight accident still in the process of being cleared up and investigated. If you're on 9W, they're still working on that tree. I can't imagine that would be too much longer, though. 684 southbound, exit 2, really bad accident. Fire department, EMS, everybody on the scene of that with an overturned vehicle in the left lane. And then outbound on the LIE at Woodhaven Boulevard, there was an accident very quickly cleared out of the way. There's still some traffic, though. And alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations once again today are going to be in effect. With traffic on the sevens, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
608. It has been a lot of fun getting to hear the weather from the one and only Lloyd Lindsey Young, legendary weather broadcaster this week. Let's hear it one more time. What are we in store for today, Lloyd?
Hello, New Rochelle. Oh, good morning, everybody. This is Lloyd Lindsey-Young with your TGIF Friday weather. Fabulous day again in the Northeast. Really looks good. Central Park probing a high of 78. Looks real good down at the shore, 75, 76. Then high pressure in the upper atmosphere takes over, and it's like a lid on the air. It compresses the warmer air down. So we're going to mid-80s on Saturday and on your Sunday. Boy, I'll tell you what, hydrate, drink plenty of water. Maximum temperatures near 90 on Sunday with increasing humidity. And get this, looking ahead, Monday through Wednesday next week, a little heat wave develops, low to mid-90 and heat indexes approaching 100, and even the threat of thunder bumpers or thunderstorms by Tuesday and Wednesday. So very nice today, and then heating up into the weekend. Have a great one, everybody. What a privilege, Lloyd Lindsey-Young, with your WABC weather.
All right, thank you, Lloyd. 609, 64 degrees. we are keeping an eye on a number of stories, including this horrible situation in Florida, where the more we know about it, the more questions we have. And now the owners of a building that collapsed in Miami-Dade County are facing this lawsuit. A class action suit was filed late last night by Brad Schoen Law Firm. Lawyers are seeking damages for what they call one of the most breathtakingly frightening tragedies in the history of South Florida. The plaintiffs are seeking $5 million in damages. And Sussex County, New Jersey is gearing up for its Rock, Ribs, and Ridges Festival. The three-day event at the Sussex County Fairgrounds kicks off today with the New Jersey Devils Cornhole Tournament and Finger Lickin' Barbecue. 11 performers are set to take the stage, including the Almond Betts Band and the Outlaws. Day passes are $15 when you buy ahead of time online, but organizers warn that the price goes up at the gate. Trenton, New Jersey will reopen its 5 public pools on Monday. The mayor says the pools will be at 100% capacity, a dramatic increase from last year's 25% limit at the height of the coronavirus pandemic. Public pools will follow CDC guidelines, which means unvaccinated residents will be asked to wear a mask when they're not in the water. We'll keep an eye on all of the news that's coming out of the Florida situation, and we'll keep an eye on everything that's happening in New York as well. But nationally, all the talk is about Vice President Kamala Harris and her trip to the border. She'll be in Texas today to address the illegal immigration problem at the U.S. southern border. Harris will tour a central processing facility run by Customs and Border Protection, and she'll meet with migrant advocates. She'll be joined by Democratic Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois, Democratic Congresswoman Verona Escobar of Texas, and Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. Harris spokesman Simone Sanders told reporters last night that the trip will help inform a strategy on the root causes of migration, and then the administration will release that report in the coming weeks. Animal rights activists are demanding permanent freedom for the cows that escaped a California slaughterhouse earlier this week. Nearly 40 cows were sent back to the facility in Pico Rivera after roaming through neighborhoods and causing some chaos before being rounded up. The group, some of them dressed in cow suits, protested outside the Manning Beef Company building on Thursday. They're urging the company to give the cows a second chance at life, which is what the last one to be captured received yesterday. Grammy Award-winning singer Diane Warren has offered to save that cow and send her to an animal sanctuary in Acton. Meanwhile, the city of Pico Rivera is collecting damage estimates from residents that had their property damaged during Tuesday night's stampede. Stanford University has a new clinic treating COVID-19 survivors still dealing with symptoms. As of yesterday, the facility is treating 35 so-called long haulers with chronic symptoms. Researchers are also using it as an opportunity to study why some people can't fully recover several months after getting infected. One of the patients first tested positive for the virus nearly a year ago and had a fever for a month. Since then, she suffered hearing and hair loss. She's also dealing with memory issues and dizzy spells. The Czech Republic is reporting a rare tornado. Czech television says a deadly tornado ripped through the southern town of Hodonin on Thursday, killing 3 people and injuring dozens more. Video of the damage shows cars flipped over and houses with their roofs torn off. A meteorologist said that the twister has wind speeds of over 200 miles per hour. The tornado is the strongest in modern history in the Eastern European nation, and it's first in nearly 3 years. Well, all eyes are on Minnesota today as former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin will be sentenced for the killing of George Floyd. The prosecution is calling for at least 30 years behind bars. His attorney, though, says that the former police officer should receive only probation. Chauvin chose not to testify in his own defense at trial, but he will have an opportunity to speak on his own behalf today before being sentenced. And we're all watching the situation involving the Florida condo collapse. Rescuers there refused to give up hope in their search for survivors. They've saved at least 37 people so far in yesterday's condo collapse. About half of the 12-story building tumbled down, killing three, with 99 still missing. Officials say a 40-year inspection was underway at the time, but there were no serious complaints. A state researcher, though, says his team knew back in the 90s the tower was sinking and wrote up a study. And we're also watching the situation involving Senator Mitch McConnell. Minority Leader McConnell says President Biden is caving to Democrats on an infrastructure plan. The Kentucky Republican slammed the president for endorsing the scaled-down bipartisan infrastructure plan, then later threatening to veto the bill if it's not accompanied by a larger reconciliation budget. McConnell accused Biden of flip-flopping on the bipartisan effort to appease Democrats. The GOP leader says the conflicting messages from Biden raise serious doubts if he's actually serious about pursuing this infrastructure deal. Well, we're always serious about following sports whenever we get to do so with Sid Rosenberg. What's happening, Sid?
Well, we got a big game seven tonight, as you know, Frank, in Tampa, Florida. It's the big one. The Islanders, with that amazing comeback 3-2 win in game six, forcing this game seven tonight, right after the victory two nights ago. IO's Ryan Pulock said this about tonight.
Honestly, I think it's pretty easy. You know, we know what's at stake. You know, we're going into a game seven. We obviously, it's a big win last night, and you know, you enjoy it for a minute, but you know, you turn the page, and you know, today is complete refocus, and you know, ready to, you know, go to work.
Game seven tonight. They'll drop the puck 8 p.m. from Tampa. Yankees afternoon tilt in the Bronx yesterday. They remain red hot. Our very own John O'Halloran was in the Bronx with this report.
The Yankees wrapped up a three-game set on Thursday afternoon against the Royals in the Bronx. Jameson Taillon took the hill and had a much-needed dominating performance. 6 1/3 innings of one-run ball put the Yankees in a good position, up 4-1 going into the sixth, when the Kraken cracked the game wide open for the Yanks.
High drive, left field. Going back, Dyson, still back, track, wall, see ya! A long three-run home run for Sanchez. He keeps hammering away.
Michael Kay of the Yes Network. Sanchez's three-run shot puts the Bombers up 7-1. He's been on fire as of late. That's his seventh home run in the last 13 games, and he's hitting a whopping .338 over the last 3 weeks. Yankees win at 8-1 and now have won seven of their last 10. They'll move on up to Boston to begin a series with the first-place Red Sox later tonight. From Yankee Stadium, I'm John O'Halloran for 77 WABC.
Thank you, John. Mets will play two tonight in Queens. They did it Monday with the Braves. Tonight it's Joe Girardi's Philadelphia Phillies. The Mets start today's action in first place, 3.5 better than Washington, 5 better than Philadelphia. Western Conference NBA Finals last night. The Clippers beat the Suns 106-92. Phoenix still has the edge in that series 2-1. Game 2 tonight from Milwaukee, the Eastern Conference Finals, where the road team Atlanta Hawks won Game 1. And they're finalizing the details for Jason Kidd to be the next head coach of the Dallas Mavericks. But again, the big story tonight, Game 7, Isles in Tampa. Sports at 15 and 45, brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Check them out at peerlessboilers.com, paviliontankless.com. They do build America's best boilers. With sports, I'm Sid.
At 6:17, we've got traffic and transit on the sevens. Here's Joe Nolan.
All right, Frank, eastbound Route 3, all lanes remain closed at Broad Street and Clifton. Again, that overnight accident, they're still in the process of investigating that. Now, 9W, that tree is still down in Alpine, also still in the process of being cleared up. Now, the earlier accident that was outbound on the LI-8 Woodhaven Boulevard, that's cleared. New York State Thruway at Exit 2, northbound, there was an accident in the right lane. Starting to build up a little bit at the Hudson River crossings, but still less than a five-minute delay across the board, and alternate side is in effect. This report, service a Rocket Mortgage, ready to buy a new home but don't know where to start? Rocket can. Check out the Rocket Mortgage Home Buyer's Guide for articles, tips, and tools. When you need your mortgage to fit your family and budget, Rocket can. Rocket Mortgage. I'm Joe Nolan. Traffic on the 7s, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
6:18, we'll hear more from Sid Rosenberg in just a minute with a preview of the Bernie and Sid show. I wish I could report on the conversations that happen off air. Those
don't
are
you?
The real conversations.
Don't you? Honestly.
Yes. Well, stock market was up yesterday on news of the infrastructure deal. NASDAQ, Dow, and S&P 500 all up. And that Dow Jones up 322 points. The S&P 500 finishing once again at a record high. And all 23 major banks subject to federal stress tests this year have passed. Banks with more than $250 billion in assets are subject to Dodd-Frank stress tests, which are meant to determine if the bank has enough capital to handle losses during a major recession, yet still able to continue to lend to households and businesses. The Federal Reserve said yesterday the banks that were tested are able to resume buying back shares of stock and distributing dividends to investors. The Fed had previously banned banks from doing this during the COVID downturn. Microsoft is unveiling Windows 11. It's the first major update to the platform since the launch of Windows 10 nearly 6 years ago. The new software operating system pushes further to a mobile-friendly environment and cleaner interface. Windows 11 will be available around the end of the year, continuing to roll out into 2022. Sid Rosenberg, one half of the Bernie and Sid show, is here to give us a preview of what we can expect to hear for the next 3.5 hours.
Well, Frank, we're going to start with an old colleague of mine, a friend of mine. She's been on with me and Bernie many, many times. When I was down in Florida, my sister station, I did sports at 640, but my sister station, WFTL 850 in Fort Lauderdale, is where I became friendly with people like Joyce Kaufman. She was on with me and Bernie a couple of days ago. Mm. Karen Curtis is live on the scene at that building collapse.
Ah.
So she will join us 650 live from Florida with the latest on that tragedy. Then we will talk to famed defense attorney, our good buddy Joe Tacopina. I guess he's gotten close with Eric Adams. He has some insight on that race. He's coming up at 7:40. And then at 8:40, I really like this. Lauren Curran, Nassau County executive.
Laura Curran.
Yeah, Laura. What did I say, Lauren? Because I have Lauren Common coming up, too. Laura Curran and Jane Castor is the mayor of Tampa. So the two of them had this big bet before the Islander-Tampa Bay series. And as it turns out, now we're down to a game 7. So at 8:40, both Laura Curran and the mayor of Tampa, Jane Castor, will be live on the air.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun.
That's going to be great. And then Lauren Conlon, red carpet rendezvous coming up at 9:25. So we stacked Bernie and Sid House today.
Lauren Conlon was hanging out with your buddy Bo Dietl last night.
You know, I got invited to that. It was a late party. William DeMeo, Mr.
Yes.
Gravesend, invited me to that. But it was a 10 o'clock start, and I'm up at 3:30 in the morning. Now that everything is open, Wendy Williams invited me last night to Peter Luger with her and Cynthia Bailey from the Real Housewives of Atlanta. I didn't make it, but because I'm a classy guy, I did have the manager, Tommy, drop off a glass of wine
at the
table.
I got
a text at 2:58 a.m. this morning from Wendy thanking me. Point is, every night now that the city is open, there's like 10 events, and I go to nothing.
I was just going to ask, how do you pick?
It's got to really be something, A, exciting, B, that kind of, you know, figures to my career. Otherwise, I have no desire. I mean, today, for example, Todd Shapiro, the PR guy here, helped me out in a big
good
way.
Friend of mine, many years.
Great guy. Got me into Carbone Restaurant. So if you don't know about Carbone is basically today what Rao's was 20 years ago. It's a big, big deal down on Thompson Street. That's where the quote-unquote cool people go. So I'm going to have dinner there later on this afternoon, and that's not something I usually do.
Never been there.
Never.
So this is going to be your first time.
First time
at Carbone, and this is. Did you pick it or did Todd suggest it?
Todd suggested it.
Wow, that's he's got.
He gave me three restaurants. He gave me a French restaurant. He gave me Philippe Chow, a Chinese restaurant. This is not my thing, bro. I go to the same three restaurants in the Upper West Side every week. Now I'm going to Rosanna Scotto's restaurant. I'm going to Carbone. I don't know what's going on with me, but there's a minor transformation
with you. I feel like. I know a socialite, finally. It's really wild.
Well, I got sick and tired of what's-his-name marks and all these types of things. So I figured, come on, I'm younger. My hair is better. I don't have any.
I'm not familiar.
And I don't wear yellow pants.
Not familiar with that gentleman.
I love Mark, though. I love Mark.
That makes one of us. Because the reason you're going to Carbone today is because...
Oh, happy anniversary, happy anniversary.
Very good.
Happy anniversary, happy anniversary.
Today is your 29th wedding anniversary?
That's correct, 29 years, yes.
Well,
yeah,
that is cool. Wonderful. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And my sympathies to Danielle. I mean, she has been through a lot over the course of the last three decades.
Too much.
Seriously.
Too much. Yeah. In all seriousness.
I'm being as serious as can be. But that's wonderful. That's great.
Thank you.
Good for you. I hope you have fun. What are you doing the rest of the weekend?
Well, talking about Danielle, she's going to take Gabriel to Maryland on Sunday to meet Ava. My daughter Ava is moving from South Carolina to Pennsylvania to go to camp. She's got this amazing summer. So I'm home alone. So I think I'm going to hit up my buddy Mike Sullivan in Breezy Point and hop on the boat for the day. Maybe have lunch at Russo's on the Bay in Howard Beach.
Wonderful. That's a weekend and a half.
But on the boat.
See, even Joe Nolan's reacting.
Oh, I know. Listen, bro, I'm living large. I'm living large. I'm tired, but I'm living large.
That's wonderful. Well, I will send you a postcard from Cape May, New Jersey. I now have your address because you're owed funds from the New York State Comptroller.
That's my old address.
When
I used to live down by Wall Street. Now I live on the Upper West Side, but I did live down in Hanover Square.
All right. Well, you're still entitled to that money. As is Bernie McGurk, as is Brian Kilmeade, as is Rita Cosby, as is Dominic Carter,
is
Ray Raimondi. The only two people as part of our weekday lineup that are not owed money from the New York State Comptroller are Juliet Huddy and me.
Is that right?
That's it. Yes.
By the way, Cape May is gorgeous.
Yes, we're big fans. My wife and I, we try and get there every year, and we're looking forward.
Well, how about you guys? Forget about me. You're going to be in Cape May today. You're having your first child.
Yeah. No, we got a lot going on.
You're Things a mega well. Superstar. The ratings are killing it overnight.
Knock on wood. I'm blessed in every possible way.
Well, good
every
for you. You happen to be, as they would say in Yiddish, a gittin shima, which means a good soul. You're a good heart.
I'm not that good of a soul. I'll tell you why.
What's that?
So I had invited Lauren Conlon to this party yesterday, to my friend Noel Ashman's birthday party.
Yeah. Oh, you went to that?
No, I didn't go, because it's not my thing.
Right.
It's loud. There's too many people.
And
I have to be on the radio at night.
Correct.
But I know it's her thing, right? So I said to Noel, put my friend Lauren on the list. She'll bring some of his girlfriends. And then, I have no issue with Bo Dietl, but he's got a little bit of an issue with me.
He does?
Yeah, he called me a lying worm and stuff. But that's, water under the bridge.
I don't think about it.
So Lauren runs over to Bo Dietl to take photos with him, and post them all over social media.
And this makes you angry.
Yeah. So it goes to show you, I'm not a
you're a child.
Manischewitz.
You're a child.
Mensch, as you said.
You're just like I am.
Exactly.
Because that type of thing would make me angry.
Exactly.
Too.
Exactly.
If my friend took pictures with somebody I didn't like,
which
has happened many times.
Well, no, I don't care that she's taking pictures, but it's like I invited you to the party.
Right.
It's like kind of my invitation, and you're using it to prop up a person that thinks I'm a lying worm.
Oh, my God. This is incredibly immature on your part.
Exactly.
Incredibly.
Exactly.
Yes.
So that's why I'm trying to set you straight here.
All right.
I'm not the Manischewitz mensch you think I am.
Nobody's perfect, except for Rocky Marciano and Stephanie Weather.
All right. Sid Rosenberg and Bernie McGurk, they are going to be counting all the money that they're getting courtesy of Tom DiNapoli, and they're also going to be commenting on all the news that's fit to listen to. There's a lot of news happening today. The Derek Chauvin sentencing, the Florida condo collapse, the New York City mayor's race, and there's a new Microsoft Windows, Windows 11. That's pretty exciting. Microsoft now worth $2 trillion, and a new study revealing the effects of the pandemic on life expectancy. Whole bunch of other things happening, including Brandeis University trying to ban the word picnic. Yes, I'm serious. 627, Joe Nolan's got traffic. I'll be back in a week. Have a great day and a great weekend and a happy Independence Day.